Ruth. I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Ruth chapter 4 as we look today at the love of the Redeemer. I tell you, this is probably one of the greatest love stories in the Bible. There's multiple ones, but all of this really falls in such a category to show us the love of a Redeemer, one who can step in that gap when there is a need. And as this story has unfolded, we had a family, Elimelech's family, Naomi, and Elimelech and her two sons. There was a drought in Bethlehem, the house of bread, and because of that drought, there became a famine. We know of that famine, and they moved to a town called where the Moabites were from, Moab. And that was a country that was in opposition to God, a country that did not worship God. And while they were there, the two sons married some Moabite women. Moabites were not allowed into the temple to worship. They were from a lineage that came out of incest, but they also were against God's people when they were coming out of Egypt. And then while there, those two sons died, the husband died, and it left three widows. Widows in that day were in a dire need of help because they could not necessarily own much property themselves. They wasn't usually able to go out and work. They didn't have a status in the court system. Well, Ruth and Naomi make their way back, and all of a sudden, Ruth realizes they're in need. They need food. Their land is in jeopardy of being sold. Ruth goes out, and by happen chance, she comes across the land of Boaz. But we've talked about that, right? There's no happen chances. God's provision, God's providence was at work setting up this grand love story that we see in Ruth. And she begins to work, and the owner of the field, Boaz, comes out. Boaz was an older gentleman, a generation probably older than Ruth was, and Ruth is out there just working and not giving up and sweating, and Boaz sees her, and the love sparks begin to fly. Boaz tends to Ruth's needs, and then we get to where we are today, where Ruth has gone. She has proposed. Ruth went and sought out Boaz, who is a kinsman redeemer, one who can redeem them. They needed someone to step in and to redeem them, to redeem their land that was about to be sold. And today we get to the climax of this story where Boaz goes into town and he goes in to become this kinsman redeemer. Let me read to you part of this. If you would stand with me. Ruth chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, 'Turn aside, friend, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, 'Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of the house. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and after I am after you.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance.' The closest relative said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it.' Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and the exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man would remove his sandal and give it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elder and all the people, "You are witness today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased of his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witness today." Father God, today I just ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. Father, you would open our minds and you would help us to understand your word. Father, that today you would convict us of the truth of your word. Father, you would help us to apply the truth of your word to our heart. And Father, you would enable us to respond. And Father, that you would speak through me in a manner that doesn't come naturally to me. Because, Lord, this is your message. I surrender to you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We begin to see this beautiful story. And what we have to understand, or we miss the whole point of these last 4 weeks, is that the book of Ruth is wrapped up in one word, and that is Redeemer. The book of Ruth is pointing to and describing what a Redeemer is, so that we would understand that, and understanding in their day that, if you remember, when Israel left out of Egypt, God brought them into the Promised Land. He divided that land among the 12 tribes, and he said that they cannot sell that land outside of those tribes. He wanted that land to remain with each individual tribe, and most definitely didn't want the land sold to outsiders. But when someone would die, or someone would get into a financial problem, or the husband, as we see here, would die, the land would have to be sold sometimes for money. And God set up in the beginning this process of a redeemer, someone who would come in and would redeem that land, would pay that price to keep that land within the family. So what I need us to see today, first of all, is what are the requirements of the Redeemer? If there is a Redeemer that is going to step in and act, and we understand it can't just be anyone, but a Redeemer, what are the requirements? How did Boaz fit into this? Well, number one is the Redeemer had to be related. God set it up and God designed it that the kinsman redeemer, the one who would redeem the land, would be a relative, because if it was not a relative, it would be of another clan. So it's important to understand that there had to be a relation. They had to be related. Secondly, if they're going to redeem it, they had to what? Be able to pay the price. There was a reason the land was going to be sold, or the reason that the land was sold. So this Redeemer not only had to be able to take care of their own land, they had to be able to pay the price. I don't know about you, but if I go and buy someone's land and I exchange money and then you want to come back and redeem it, I'm not just going to give it to you. You have to pay the price. So the Redeemer had to be able to pay the price. The Redeemer also had to be willing. He couldn't be forced, and we see that here, because the closest relative, look at verse 5 again. It says, "Then Boaz said, 'On that day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance.'" The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance." Redeem it for yourself. You have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. It had to be the closest relative. They had to be willing. Here in this situation, I find it very funny and very ironic because the closest relative, he was all about himself, wasn't he? More land. I'll redeem the land. But when the stipulation of Ruth the Moabite has come, he said, I can't redeem it. What do we read into this? What can we see? He's too worried about his name. What are people going to think of me if I get marred? My reputation, my name gets marred because I marry this Moabitish woman, Ruth. Do you know the ironic of the story? How many of you know his name? No one. His name's nowhere in Scripture. He was so worried about his name that he wouldn't marry her. He wouldn't follow what God said. His name's not mentioned. But you have Boaz who come in, who was willing to step up and to redeem the land, redeem that price, and also marry Ruth and get his name marred with this woman, this Moabite woman, and his name is blessed in Scripture here. Not only that, God was so pleased that his name is also in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Because from this union of Boaz and Ruth, we get Jesus Christ. You see, they had to be willing. He was willing to accept all that came along with that. This close relative is now the closest. The rite of redemption has been. He's gone to court. I find it interesting. We talked last week about the providence of God and about how God works. If you read here, I remember, you probably don't, but I told you last week or the week before to remember when we talked about the barley harvest. There were 7 weeks of the barley and the wheat harvest. At the conclusion of the barley and the wheat harvest was the festival of weeks, or Pentecost. Those 50 days they come to celebrate, or the festival of harvest, all those names used together here. And that is one of the feasts. If you remember, I told you that all the men of Israel had to come to Jerusalem to the central place of worship. God's providential work in orchestrating this story has happened for a reason. Because we saw last week that what? Boaz was on the threshing floor. Harvest time is finished. We're cleaning up. We're getting everything out. We're getting the good wheat, signaling the end of harvest, which tells us that this is also the beginning of the festival of weeks, that all men had to come to the central worship place. So it was not by happenchance that Boaz went to the city gate hoping that just maybe this close relative would come. He knew. You see, God has orchestrated all of this timing because he knew that as a male of Israel, he would be coming in to the town to come to worship. So Boaz went and he waited. Secondly, we see the fulfillment of the Redeemer. We have the requirements of the Redeemer. Had to be related, had to be able to pay the price, had to be willing. Boaz, check, check, check. And then we have the fulfillment of the Redeemer. What do we see at the end of chapter 3 that she was waiting? We can conclude from that Ruth let Boaz work on her behalf. Ruth could not have gone to the city gate and waited for this other relative to come along and say, hey, you're my kinsman redeemer. I need you to step in and do this. She would have had no legal right in the court system to do that. So the fulfillment comes through Boaz and Ruth allowing Boaz to work on her behalf. Boaz also went and sought out Ruth's redemption. Boaz, like, I'm in love with her. This is what needs to be done. I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to the temple gate or to the gate of the city, and I'm going to wait for him to come in. I'm going to give him the option. I'm sure Boaz was hoping sweating bullets, hoping he would just say no. You notice how Boaz did that? Hey, you need to redeem Naomi's land. Okay, I'll do that. And Boaz was like, oh no. And then he said, ha, but you got to take the woman with it. Oh no, I don't want that. So he went and he sought out this fulfillment. And then we see that Boaz goes in and he makes this transaction. This closest redeemer comes and says, I'm not willing. You can do it. And in the sign of their day, it told us that he took off his sandal and he handed his sandal to Boaz. It'd be like us signing a contract today or signing a legal document, a right of refusal, allowing Boaz to now step up and to fulfill those requirements that he met, to fulfill to be the redeemer because he loved Ruth. And he loved Naomi, but he had this affection for Ruth, and he steps up and he says that he took it, and then we read that he married Ruth out of this commitment and this love for her. And the third thing we see is there's a rejoicing or a celebration of the Redeemer. Look at verse 13. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and went in to her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. There was the marriage. He made the transaction legal, and then he goes to Ruth, and he receives Ruth. He has relations with Ruth. The Lord steps in again. We see the Lord all through this. He allows Ruth to conceive. And through this marriage of Ruth and Boaz, we see the fruit of that union. When two come together, there's a fruit, and we see that fruit. We see it in verse 17. It says, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. This union between the Redeemer and the loved, between the outcast and the ruler, so to speak, has come together. And through that union, there was a child, there was fruit, there was a child born who was Obed. I find it interesting here that the neighbor women named him. But what do we know about Obed? It tells us there very quickly that Obed was the father of Jesse. Okay, that's okay. So what? He's the father of Jesse. Kids have kids. But who was Jesse the father of? King David. The grandson of Obed, of Jabez, I'm going to get it right here in a minute, of Ruth and Boaz, all of these asses in here, this union was the grandchild of King David, who was then gone down through that line, and we get Jesus Christ. And in the scripture, you can read how the men told him to become fruitful and to be over in verse 11, it's not on the screens. It ends with, may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah, which means profitable, and become famous in Bethlehem. Well, he was those things. He became famous in Bethlehem, Boaz, because he became the father of Jesse, who became the father of King David, who through that line in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ is born, and Boaz's name is remembered. But also the rejoicing is Ruth. Through this love union, through this redemption, Ruth was changed. She went from being a poor widow to marrying a wealthy man, Boaz. She came from widowed to married, from poor to rich, from an outcast to an incast. Her life was changed forever because of this redemption. A redeemer who saw the need. And that redeemer had a love for that need, Ruth. There was nothing, church, you need to understand this. There was nothing that Ruth could do for herself in this situation. Her life was doomed and destined to be a poor widow until death. Had a redeemer not stepped up? Had a man and this redeemer not fell in love with her and lavished upon her great gifts? And then when she was ready, she came to him with the offer standing and asked for this marriage. And this Redeemer does everything possible because he meets all of the requirements of the Redeemer. He then goes through and he fulfills his right of redemption, and then there is joy and celebration. I mean, we could write a Hallmark movie about this love encounter. Amen? But let me tell you, there's a greater love story within this story that we must see today. Boaz is a representation of none other than Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. And us sitting in this room today, Ruth is our representation in this story. Let me unfold this for you this morning. You see, you might remember these points. There's a requirement for a redeemer. Boaz was redeemer. What did I tell you? That Jesus is the redeemer. Jesus is our redeemer. He represents Boaz, and there are still the requirements. Why did God put Ruth in the Bible? Because he wanted us to understand what a redeemer was. He wanted us to understand that there were requirements for a redeemer so that when Jesus Christ comes along, we can see the picture, the requirement of the redeemer. The first one was, you remember, must be related. What do we know about Jesus Christ? John 1:14 tells us, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ clothed over His glory and put on flesh so that He could come to earth and what? Be like one of us. He became a relative. We became related through the flesh. Jesus Christ lines up with that. He became man. The second requirement of the Redeemer was had to be able to pay the price. There's no one out there that could pay the price. But Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can be the Redeemer. His blood is the requirement. Matthew 26:28 says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Amen. He is this price payer. He is able to pay the price and redeem. If you want to write down in your notes there or turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 give us another picture of this. It says, "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us unto the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." We are poor souls, dirty and marred, in need of a redeemer. Redeemer Jesus Christ, out of his love for us, God's providential work, sends the Redeemer. He was related. He was able to pay the price. Philippians 4:19 tells us, "And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches in glory." The third part of being the requirement of the Redeemer must be willing. And let me tell you, I don't know anyone else more willing to shed their blood and to shed their life for us, the enemy, the sinners, the outcast, but the King of Kings himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That was the most heinous form of execution. It was reserved for the vilest of criminals to be ridiculed and to be mocked and to put on a cross along the street line. But Jesus was willing, because of his love for you and his love for me, was willing to go to the cross, to die, to be beaten, to be nailed to that cross, all out of love and to meet the requirements of the Redeemer. So we understand very clearly, because God has portrayed in Ruth and other parts of Scripture what a Redeemer is. To redeem something, you have to pay a price. There has to be the requirements. God shows us that Jesus meets those requirements. There is also the fulfillment of the Redeemer. The fulfillment of the Redeemer, and we see that we must let Christ work on our behalf. Just as Ruth was a poor widow, Ruth was a Moabitess, an outcast. Everything was stacked against Ruth in redeeming this land and redeeming herself. It was only out of the love of the Redeemer. A picture again of us. Because in our sin, we are dirty, we are separated, we have no hope. There's not a thing on the face of this earth that you or I could do anything to redeem ourselves out of the dirtiness of sin, but to allow Christ to work on our behalf. Amen. His bloodshed covered for us, his redeeming love portrayed for us. Christ stands in our place. Christ gone, and he went to that cross, and he fulfilled his duty, and he told the Father, "It is finished." He gave up his breath. He stands in the gap today and intercedes for us at times with the Holy Spirit. He is there. Christ redeemed us the moment he died on that cross. He paid the penalty. That redemption price was paid. We must receive it. Ruth had to receive what Boaz was willing to do for her. And then we see, church, that there is rejoicing of the Redeemer. Scripture tells us that we can read in Scripture that there's rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes to Christ. But what about the marriage of the Lamb? Romans gives us a great picture of this. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And get this, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. That verse 17 is the key. It says that we're heirs with Christ. Guess what happened? Remember I told you Naomi was changed? Naomi went from a poor widow to owning everything that Boaz had. I think sometimes we forget. Or maybe I would say we can't comprehend. The moment we are redeemed with Jesus Christ, we become heirs. Everything that's his is ours. His power. We get the glory. We get all of these things that are Jesus because he redeemed us. He married us. We become co-heirs with that. The problem is we don't live in it the way that we should. I don't think that we can grasp it. We need to understand that more. We need to live in that freedom. We need to live in that power. Ruth got freedom. We get freedom. What about the fruit of the union? Just as we saw with Boaz and with Ruth, we get the fruit of the Spirit. But beyond that, our union comes together. Christ fills us, and out of the overflow, we share in that joy. And the fruit of sharing of that joy is there becomes more new Christians. If we don't share, who's going to share? Just as Obed came along, no one knowing, God knows. God's orchestrating. God is setting it up. And just as Ruth was changed when she was redeemed by Boaz, when we're redeemed by Jesus Christ, we become a new creation. 2 Corinthians tells us in 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We're different, amen? We're different, amen? Come on, y'all acting dead out there. This is a love story. This is a love story of a God who loves us. This should excite us that we see what a Redeemer is, and then we see that Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of that Redeemer, and He loved us enough that Boaz loved Ruth, that Jesus loved us enough that He was willing to mar His name, He was willing to mar His reputation. When He died on that cross, He was perfect, absolutely perfect, but yet He bore and became every sin for every person. Out of love. It's love for you. It's love for me that we see this. We need to be ready for the marriage of the Lamb. There was this marriage portrayed, the marriage of the Lamb. Jesus comes to save us, but guess what? One day we're the what? Bride of Christ, hallelujah. Jesus Christ is coming back to take us to be His bride. And we see the marriage of the Lamb. Revelations 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made ready herself. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. There's coming a day that this Ruth and Boaz love story is going to be nothing in comparison to the marriage of the great Lamb. Elimelech was in the tribe of Judah. It's important. He was in the tribe of Judah. His family name was kept in the tribe of Judah. Why is that important? Because he was, remember, the grandfather of King David from the tribe of Judah, who was in the direct lineage of Jesus Christ, who would be from the tribe of Judah, to uphold His name, the Lion of Judah. Amen. And He's coming back for us. Are we ready? Are we living, if we're ready, as if we are that bride of the line of Judah, the Lamb of God? May you bow your heads. Father God, I thank You. Father, for Your love. Father, a love that I nor no one else will fully understand. Father, thank You for this beautiful love story in the book of Ruth that just unfolds. And all through it is Your providential hand setting up a Redeemer. All, Father, so that we would know Your providential hand in providing us the Redeemer that we need. Your Son, Jesus, the Lion, the Lamb, the Lion of Judah. Father, I pray today that if there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, they will see Your love. They will see that You are the Redeemer, that You've provided the only way of redemption through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and understand that love. Father, may they come running to You this morning. Father, for those of us who are here this morning, and Father, we know that love. Father, we've been redeemed. Lord, would You help us today to commit to Lord, to wearing those clothes, those fine linens, that clothes of righteousness that you give us. Help us live in our co-heirship with Christ in the power and the freedom that we have. Father, may we surrender to you today. Father, may we walk out of here as a bride ready, excited, anticipating, looking forward to, waiting the return of the Lamb. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.